G'day, Don. How are you?
I'm really well, thanks, Annie. And g'day to you and all your listeners.
Yeah, now we've got very interesting things to talk about. Capital strike versus IR laws being curbed.
Yes. Yeah, and I think the starting point is to compare what I would call two forms of militancy, one of which is publicly discussed through mainstream media with reference to the construction division of the CFMEU, and the other, which is hardly ever discussed but occasionally reported in the most banal way, and that is the deliberate development of the capital strike by employers. And I think when you look at both forms of militancy, I think the case can be really straightforward made that the employer's use of the strike of capital is far more destructive than anything we've seen in the allegations made against construction industry unionism.
Extraordinary level of one-sidedness is going on, even if we look at the concept that the attack on the CFMEU construction division was based on allegations of corruption, when no such attacks centred at employer corruption.
Exactly. In a recent blog post of mine, which has been getting quite a good response, actually, which is nice to know, but I tried to point out that three or four things. Firstly, it's pretty handy to know what the scheme of administration introduced by the Labor government with their new allies on such matters, the Liberal National Party opposition, just what it actually says. The second thing I did was to have a closer look on what the allegations are all about. And they, in my view, they lump into, well, the lump of them, as they've been put forward, includes allegations of corruption. And secondly, allegations which are really the union defying the industrial law, which is a civil matter, not criminal. And then the third thing is about behavioural issues. Attitudes towards other people and so on, boorishness and that sort of thing. And what I've tried to do in that article is sort out just what is the real problem here. And my argument is that all of those problems were capable of being worked out, and as things turned out, were steadily being worked out internally by the union itself. And I think I think the particular thing about militancy is really around, which is really upsetting the employers as a class, is the willingness of the construction division to develop its approach to defying unfair laws that prevent workers who are in unsafe or hyper-exploited circumstances from being properly represented. And your listeners, if they're interested, can go and look and see how I've tried to develop that argument.
Well, there's a whole range of other things that you talk about too, and I'd like to look at the government's role in this. I found it absolutely fascinating that you called it scheme of administration, because what you're talking about is they've come up with a legislative process which has armed the LNP, an anti-union, anti-worker party, with a mechanism for undermining unionism.
Well, the reason why I've used the phrase scheme of administration is because that's what its official title is.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's what they intend.
That's not something I've made up. Now, they had to do it in a particular way in order to comply with the law as they understood it, which, of course, there is going to be a High Court. There is a High Court challenge underway for that we won't know the result of for at least a month or two. The thing that struck me, what I call it disgraceful, was that the Labor government turned to the likes of Michaela Cash and Birmingham to hash out how to make their law go through the parliament. So they turned to the most virulent members and the LNP generally, whose record on anti-unionism is very well known, and preferred an alliance with them to sort out their scheme. Now, in my view, in principle, the scheme is wrong, but when you look at that method, that is shameful. That is a disgraceful approach to dealing with the problem as we knew it. And then that extends into, of course, the sacking of up to a couple of hundred paid officials, most of whom don't come into the play of the mass media allegations. So it was a pretty disgraceful exercise by the Labor government, and I think it has very serious historical consequences, including the ongoing relationship between construction industry unionism and Labor governments in the future.
That is actually the truth, because I hear what they say. But something else is really important here too, is it actually attacks the very foundations of a democratic principles. And I was really disturbed by the ACTU secretary making pronouncements that unionism's core values of solidarity are unaffected by this. Everything is business as usual. It's just a sort of one union that's a bit of a cancer, and it needs to be cut out of the union body. That's not true, is it? Even technically, the concept of attacking democracy on this level, this membership organisation, it has got far more ripple effects than this ingenuous statement would give support to.
Well, I agree that the ACTU decision and its justification to kick the construction division out of the ACTU is wrong and is dangerous. It is both at the level of strategy and tactics to agree that a government should be able to prevent union members from being in control of the union is a very, very serious and dangerous thing to do. I think there's going to be a very difficult road to be able to sort out over the next two or three or four years, no matter how long it takes, about how to rebuild unity. But the ACTU is going to have to face up to the reality that it has, in its own way, contributed to the breakdown of a degree of unity that was in place. I think there's a deeper discussion about that, but I don't think we should, in talking about this, my main purpose today is to contrast it with the way in which the employers are pursuing their own militancy and escalating it at the moment.
Yeah, it's quite extraordinary. On the back of this, this clear pronouncement that there'll be a capital strike if IR laws aren't massaged to their needs, with their desires.
The evidence of that lies in some speeches being made recently by the CEOs and the chairpersons of the Minerals Council and the Business Council of Australia, which had its annual dinner a week or two ago. And in the speeches by their new chairman and their new CEO, Mr. Culbert and Black.
What are their names?
Mr. Culbert and Mr. Black. He's the CEO.
God, that sound like henchmen in Neil Gaiman books. Go on.
Those speeches are really worth reading for any serious activist, because what we're seeing there is the sort of sharpening of the language that indicates a more intense coordination of big business working out how to bring down and prevent a Labor government, whether it's more dependent upon the Greens and crossbenchers to get progressive legislation through or not. I think their intent is clear. They want to get Dutton into the lodge, and that has very serious, when we study that, that has very serious implications for the union movement and for everyone who participates in it, including those of us who are to the left of the ALP and the Greens. The interesting thing about that, a lot of the speeches are in code, but they do talk about and imply the intensification of the withdrawal of capital out of the Australian economy to other places and other purposes. They do talk like that. In other words, that's a strike. So a capital strike is the obverse of the labour strike. Workers bring their labour power into workplaces, and the result of that is the production of value that a big part is taken by the employers as profits, of course. The obverse of the labour strike is, of course, what employers bring into the economic process, and that's capital. And so this is a various situation. The facts are these. First, the Business Council of Australian leaders are suggesting that this is a sort of a recent phenomenon. But if you take a close look at the data provided by the Australian Bureau of Statistics, the facts are that new capital investment, particularly productive investment, has been productive investment, by which I mean investment in industrial-type buildings for production of goods and services and or other structures, and then plus machinery and equipment. Put those two things together, and there has been a really dramatic decline in the volume of that investment by private enterprise in Australia. So they've been on strike already, except it's not called that, because no one in mass media will talk about how business behaves with its investment and its sort of, it believes its God-given right, sacrosanct right to control investment decision making, and how that has collapsed. Well, collapsed is too strong a word. It's declined really seriously. And this is at a time when the opposite is what is required because of global warming and the importance of new investment in the transition to renewable energy system. So just when it's most urgently needed, private business decision-making about investment has gone into strike mode. That's the pattern over the last 10 to 20 years. Sure, there's ups and downs, and that's repeated when it comes to the investment in research and development, which is in a serious state of decay.
So when they talk about this and they say it's all we want the IR laws to change, actually there's something else going on. It's got nothing to do with IR laws at all, does it?
Well, it has very much to do with IR laws because, in fact, IR laws are not separate from how the economy and the society works. They're embedded within it. But it is a bigger issue. It's about the whole environment that business wants to operate in. And so...
So what is it about capitalism falling apart?
That's right. That in Australia, the economy has been in a semi-stagnant or stagnant state since before the pandemic. What is going on at the moment with a stagnant economy is a global problem, and it's been around since before the pandemic. That's the most important thing. And the reduction in the investment strike has been on way before that. So the investment strike was underway under the LNP government when they had close to what they wanted in terms of the legislative framework, close to what was the best they could expect in the legislative framework. The target they have at the moment with workplace relation laws is the new multi-enterprise bargaining laws, and they are saying that they are driving the potentiality of more withdrawal of investment from Australia. There are two challenges underway. How should Labor in government and its membership in the branches handle the threat of a capital investment strike being more intense, of an escalated one? However, that's also a problem for those of us who, from the left, are dissatisfied with the effort of the Labor government. Because if there was a government doing the things that we think are the right things to do for the majority of the population, we would face the same problem. And it's one of those really tough problems for any type of government that wants to get itself onto a socialist trajectory, or any movement that wants a government that does that. So I think we've got to have a big discussion about this through all of the organisations that we participate in. The capital strike is loaded with, you know, the most disgusting hypocrisy when you read these speeches. Apart from the code, it's the shallowness. But mainstream media dresses up this coded shallow analysis from these characters because they're wearing suits, I guess, and because they're very wealthy, and because they represent the wealthiest 10% of the population, in effect. It's dressed up as something profound.
Yeah.
So the hypocrisy is there, but we have to get our heads around it, because they in using the code, they switch on certain things like job security. They don't talk about profit. Within that framework of capital investment falling, profits in Australia, the volume of profits, has remained reasonably strong. So it's not as though they have a shortage.
No. We have to come to the end because we've got hardly any minutes left.
These are maybe three. I think we do need to have better militancy, a more mindful, strategic militancy than the CFMEU leadership was delivering. Their spirit of defiance is on the right track. It needs to be made more effective. They've got serious problems themselves in terms of union density and construction has fallen by 5% over the last 10 years. That's not good. So we've got some big challenges ourselves in defending the CFMEU membership, the construction division membership, which we should do. We can't go on with our status quo either, but we must, above all, build a movement that challenges the status quo that says the capital strike is okay.
Okay. Thanks very much for talking to us this morning, Don.
With very best wishes to all, look forward to getting together again soon.